All right, well, it's good to see everyone this morning. We are speaking today on the topic of prayer. And I call this today shameless persistence. And since we are talking about prayer, it would be suiting if I started by praying. So I'm just going to pray really quick before we get started this morning. God, thank you so much that we get to be here. God, I just pray that the words that I say, God, that they come from you. God, that they, anything that I say that's off today, God, I just pray humbly to let those things fall away and the truth to stand, God. We just want to know you more, God. We want to see you more. We want to experience you more, God. And I pray that that we are able to do that with you, God, our amazing God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so shameless persistence. We are into, I'm going to go right into a text this morning, and this text is in Luke chapter 11. So if you want to turn to it, you can. If you want to just read it on the screen, it will be there. I hope the font's big enough. Luke 11, verse 5 to 13. I'll read it out, though, and this is how it goes. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." And then he kind of goes on to tell a funny story, which we often call parables. And this teaches... and it says this, "Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight." How many people like to drop by the friend's houses at midnight? Or would be a couple of you do, okay. Okay, so make friends with them, okay? So you could have some action happening in the middle of the night. Okay, so wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread, and you say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me, the door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed, I can't help you." Nice friend, eh? But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he'll get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking, the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, how many people get asked for fish often? Okay, anyways, ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or how many, if they ask for an egg, daily request, an egg? Okay, but anyways, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit for those who ask him? So shameless persistence. We live in a world, I'm going to tell you something here that is not going to be new news to you guys. I'm just kind of stating the obvious. The world is struggling right now. There is a struggle in the world. There's financial worry with inflation and rising interest rates. Financial security isn't what it once was. There's this incredible breakdown of families, right? Where, like, sometimes even with our youth, I just hear, like, horror stories of stuff that's happening with the breakdown of families, of the family structure. There's work addiction, and there's lots of burnout, tech and phone addictions, and that are ruining relationships and families as we choose to entertain and numb ourselves sometimes above being together. Sexual promiscuity, the pornography epidemic. There is mental health, like 1 in 4 hospitalizations for children and youth age 5 to, I think it's 24, according to the Canadian Institute for Health Information, is for mental health now. There's increased cynicism, toxic divisiveness. Man, even in our town, lately, like Penetang, we had a whole building collapse, people losing their home, right? And we have like gun violence that's kind of, we've seen a little bit of that even in our town recently. Like health, poverty, there's just so much stuff, right? The world is hurting so much that I don't think my list even does it justice. I don't think my list even does it justice. And this is not difficult to see. I think all of it can be found right in our town, in our region, in Penetang, and wherever else. So we as Christians have inherited, and we live in, and even contribute to the mess that our world is in. Like, what do we do? Because that's like a heavy and big problem. And doesn't your heart like just kind of like break for all of this? Like all those different things. And I think for some of us, our default may be like feel stress or anxiety, worry, even when I start reading off that list, right? We start to worry about these things. Or we get angry or like sad, or maybe even just like a crushed spirit about all this stuff. Or maybe we just don't know what to do, and we just numb and distract ourselves by turning on Netflix at the end of the night. Or we just accept it, right? We're just, it is what it is. We just function in a world of acceptance. But there is a verse in Philippians 4 that says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So today I want to spend some time speaking about prayer. Because in prayer, we're choosing to be, well, I think this is the why. This is the why for prayer. I think we're choosing to be obedient to God, first of all, right? We're doing what he asks. He asks us to pray. Like, prayer is a spiritual practice that is central to our calls as Christians, right? There's like 650 prayers in the Bible. There is like written from like the very like early parts of Genesis, already prayers happening. Is central to Jesus' teaching and his practices, and we've already prayed three times this morning, right? Like, it's part of our, like, what we're told to do. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:17, just as an example of another spot, pray without ceasing. And the other reason as to why is we're in a relationship with God, right? And relationships need conversation. So if we're in a relationship, we're not just pawns for God to move around on his almighty chessboard. We're not called to be robots. We are called into a relationship, which means a conversation. Like, can you imagine if my wife, Leticia, and I functioned in a relationship together without ever talking, right? It's part of the relationship is conversation. And the third one I have here is because we are children of God, which means we should ask. We should ask, right? As Jesus himself said, we should ask with shameless persistence. So you have permission to be that annoying kid in the back of the car asking, are we there yet? You have permission to be that person to God, okay? That's okay. It's okay. It's not a sin. And that's why we pray. But what is prayer exactly? I'm going to try to open up the idea of prayer. I'm not going to give a perfect encapsulation of what this all is. But basically, I want to say there's a bunch of different forms of prayer. And lots of people have different ways they kind of break these down. I'm breaking them down into five today. So here are some general ways that we pray. And I'm assuming in each one of these that you're talking and listening, okay? Because listening is an important part to it as well. And I think a lot of the ones I'm going to mention are actually, you can say a lot of these in one prayer. So here they are. We have adoration. Adoration is, God, you are awesome, right? And I'm going to give an example from Psalms. Psalm 104, for each one of these, I'm going to give an example from Psalms. Psalm 104 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. We have lament, which is actually the majority of what Psalms are. Lament, right? Lament. So, God, I am grieved. Psalm 31, my life is consumed by anguish. Next is thanks. Thanks. God, thank you. Psalm 138, I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. The fourth one is confession. God, I'm sorry. Psalm 32, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave. So let me sit here for a second, because I want to add something here. Are hands clean, right? Like, are your hands clean? Is your heart pure? Like, do you need to confess something to God to rid of, like, something in your life? Because there's kind of a scary verse I'm going to read from Psalms. It says, Psalm 66 says, "If I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer." If there's something you need to confess, He will forgive you, right? He will forgive you. He will take your shame and have a bucket full of mercy and love and acceptance for you. But go to God and don't wait. Go to God, don't wait. So his confession is one of them. And the final one that we're going to sit a lot more on today is the idea, I squished a bunch of different ones together here, but this is supplication, right? So like asking, like petitioning, and intercession, okay? So that is God help. God help. Psalm 86, "When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me." Sometimes we pray for our own things, right? So that's kind of like the supplication part. Intercession is when we often pray for others, right? We pray for others. Pray on another's behalf. Like maybe you've been praying for like a family member or, you know, somebody else, praying for our town of Penetang, right? And I think if we want to see change in our families, in our town, in our region, and I think we need to be a praying and we need to be an interceding church. We need to be willing to go out and ask God often in prayers with teeth. Right? Not just thanking God for the weather, as great as that is, but like praying, God, like, you know, I need you to move in this. I need you to do something about this. Being persistent, being annoying with teeth. And I get that some of us have done this for a long time. And I get there are prayers for many of us that have not been answered. And maybe there's a thought that you think there's something wrong with you, or God for not answering your prayers. And I want to highlight today that there are many reasons that prayers do not get answered. There are many reasons, and it's not just that you have a lack of faith or sin or that it's God's will. I think there's a whole world of things out there, and I believe there are a lot of things at play that, and I actually have some thoughts on this. Have me back some other time up here. Maybe I can try to go through those. There's a really good book, though, by a guy named Pete Gregg called God on Mute, if you want to, like, do some more research into that area. But about the idea of persistence, I worry that sometimes out of like our reverence, right? Or like reverence is another way of saying it, like our deep respect for God, which is a great thing. We simply sometimes though, maybe even unintentionally, pray passively. Like we pray, like, God, your will be done. If you want, if you feel like it, if it's your will, maybe after all, like maybe. And we see this as God does what he wants, and maybe I'll stand over on the sidelines and just watch. But I want to argue today that his will for us is actually for us to shamelessly ask for the big things. To shamelessly ask for the big things. Even when it hurts, even when we don't see the answer, even if we're scared of asking again because it seems so, like, over the top. Or dare I say, even if it seems, like, shameless to ask for that. In prayer, we're able to ask for the big things. And as a gentleman by the name of Kyle Strobel says, prayer isn't a place to be good. It's a place to be honest. Be honest with God. To be real, to go before God like a child and ask, right? So Jesus says, "And so I tell you, keep on asking, you will receive. Keep on what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Like, what if he is a God that is actually moved by our prayers? What if he is a God that's actually moved by our prayers? I'll tell you a few stories here. The first one is a story about my wife, Leticia. She asked her some time for her testimony. She has an amazing testimony of how God moved in her life. And she always says she's amazed where she ended up based on where her life trajectory was going. Her life wasn't easy always, and there were times where she wasn't necessarily fully seeking God. And God seemed to always be there. helping her along. And I remember we started working at a different church a few years ago, and this lady came up to us, and specifically Letitia, and she pulled out of her Bible a picture. We barely knew this lady. We haven't talked to this lady. She comes up to us, opens her Bible, and she has a picture of Letitia as a little kid in her Bible. And she said that often she looks at that picture and prays for Letitia. And so we were just like dumbfounded by that. I truly believe that this lady praying for Letitia over years without necessarily always knowing the results made a difference in her life. And those like me and you that get to know her now get to reap the reward of those prayers as well. Another story. In Exodus chapter 32, there's a story of the golden calf. The story of the golden calf with Moses. So again, like the Israelites, you know, they have witnessed God do amazing things. He's parted the Red Sea, you know, they've done all these different things. And Moses goes up to meet God on a mountain. And while he's up on the mountain, there's all the Israelites decide, well, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to create a golden calf and worship that as now our God. And so what happened next was God had his reaction to this, where he basically was like, I'm just going to wipe them out and start fresh with you, Moses. Kind of a wild story to think about. And Moses actually contended with God in this moment and said and asked God to not do it and to remember them and to remember his covenant with Abraham. And do you know what God did? Verse 13, it says, then the Lord relented. He relented. Relent in Hebrew is the word, I'm going to totally pronounce this wrong, nachem. Nachem, which is to change his mind. And in other places in the Bible, it actually means to repent. The thing is, God is a relational God. He, in relationship, he allows us to argue back and forth with him. He responds when we ask him for things. We can be shameless and honest and persistent with God. It's not a sin. It's not treating God as less. It's actually part of your calling into relationship. Like with my daughter, Juliana, we've spent detailed time in our house to teach that she has a voice to speak to us, right? Of course, with love and respect. That she gets a voice to speak to us. If there's something she doesn't like, she can tell us. If she wants something, she can ask. We may say no, but with an inspiring point, she can change our minds and has changed our minds on things. Everything from our dinner plans to rules around friends to tech use to like even consequences. Because parenting isn't a dictatorship, right? Parenting is a relationship. And God is our Father and we are his children. So I like to think that God is like this too. He allows his creation to have a say, to have a voice in what happens. He wants your opinion, your thoughts, your contention, your conversation, your questions, your requests. All of it. We can pray, and it can actually do something, right? It can move God's hand as we seek his face and not his hand. As we seek his face and not his hand. As we seek him out of relationship as a father and not as some magical genie who's just going to do stuff for us, right? We're still ultimately obedient to him as a child is to their father. But I have seen prayer work dramatically. And I'm going to tell you one story, and this is from my time as a missionary in Haiti. One time we had basically a bunch of Dominican, like missionaries who were working in the Dominican Republic, and they wanted to come over and experience Haiti. And the thing about Haiti is a place where you just assume risk. It's not like here where everybody drives down the road, you know, mostly nicely in the lines, you know, and, you know, people have their seatbelts on, and, you know, it's like all the safety precautions are there. Haiti, you just assume you don't have all those things. And I remember this group of missionaries, they wanted to go out to an island called Isla Rat. So Rat Island. And we're going to take them out there. We got this boat, and I think there's a picture of a boat on there. So it looked something like this, and it had a little engine on the back of it. and we stuffed a bunch of missionaries. Myself and Letitia were on this boat, and there was also a pregnant lady, and there was a young girl with us, and we started in a bay. I should say that the risks we assumed was there was no life jackets, there were no paddles. We went out, it was in a calm, nice bay, and we were like, okay, we can handle this, it's okay. Calm, nice bay, until we got out of the bay, and all of a sudden, there were huge waves that started coming around the boat, and we were getting a little bit scared. And so what happened next is we had a good driver, and he was navigating these waves like beautifully, all around. So we're like, okay, at least we're almost there. We can see the island ahead of us. Until the boat ran out of gas. And here we are in the middle of these huge waves. The boat is starting to turn. And if any of us are boaters here, you know what happens when a boat starts to turn and the waves are now hitting you on the side, how scary that can be. And so what we did is we prayed. And we watched just before we prayed that this guy shook the gas can. There was no gas in it. And after we prayed, we saw a miracle. We saw that he was able to turn on the engine and drive us all the way to shore. I truly saw a miracle that day. Miracles do happen. I can't explain why sometimes they don't, right? There's a whole other thought and a whole other section on sometime why we can talk about this, but I think we are called to ask, right? Prayer does work, and throughout Scripture, like, there are amazing things that happen through prayer. So my question today is, do you pray? Do you pray? Do you pray not only for what's on your heart with yourself, but like pray for that around us too? Like, we live in a hurting world, in a hurting region. Penetang is hurting. Midland is hurting. You know, like, there's so many people out there who just need God. And I truly believe prayer is a big piece to that. We need to be praying for our town, praying for, like, specifically, like, in my role, like, praying for our youth. Like, there is so much heavy stuff that they are dealing with. So how do we pray? I'm going to turn this from the Luke prayer to the Matthew version of this. So Matthew 6, verse 9 says this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Another way of saying that is, you're an amazing God in heaven and holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Saying that as like, we know the kingdom is not fully here, God. We see the damage in our world, but let your will be done. And we can have conversations here. We can contend with God. Then it says, give us today our daily bread, right? Provide for our needs. And forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So if you want to see the lives of those around you, of our town, of our community, of our youth, of whoever, if you want to see things change, we need to be a church dedicated to prayer. We need to be praying big prayers, lots of prayers, shameless prayers. Prayers that are persistent. So are you willing to do that? Are you willing to pray? So I'm going to put a little brown bag here for you to take it home, okay? And so here are your things to take home. These are fairly, like, I think they're simple, but sometimes they are difficult, right? The first one is to pray, and I purposely scratched off the word daily, because daily starts to feel like a checkbox. I made a prayer. Pray often. Pray often. Whenever something comes to your mind that is stressing you out, that is worrying you, that you think of, if somebody comes to your mind, pray. Pray often. Make a prayer list if it helps. Put it up somewhere, in your Bible, on a mirror, on a wall, so you can pray daily. We have a prayer list. I don't know if everybody knows this. We have a prayer list at our church, prayer@covenantchurch.ca. And you can email that, any prayer request that you have, and you can email that to get on the prayer list as well. So you can receive the prayers, so that you can take part in that as well. Second one is ask God what to pray for, right? Like, sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. Sometimes we are so overwhelmed by it all, but we are able to ask God for that too. Ask God what to pray for, because sometimes we don't even know where to start. The third one is purify yourself. Confess any sin to God and live a dedicated life to Him. And finally, make your prayers bold and shameless and persistent. Be annoying with them. It's okay. God already knows what's on your heart and in your mind anyways. Put it all before Him. It's okay. Okay, so I think it's right to, I'm going to invite the worship team up in a second, but to finish with a prayer. So let's pray together. God, we submit ourselves to You, but also come to You as a child to the Father. As Psalm 139 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me the way of everlasting, God. Purify our hearts, God. Remind us to pray often, Your will and Your kingdom, O King of the universe, with shameless persistence. We call on You to wake us up out of our slumber, to hunger and thirst for You and only You. Not experiences, not gifts, not treasures, just You, God. And as we do this, we ask for Your kingdom to be seen and heard in our town of Penetang, in our region, God, in a way no eye has seen and no ear has heard. Oh God, we cry out to You today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen."